And along the line of this new identity. And we've been talking that a new identity is the real you. Today's message, I'm titling it, Your New Identity is Your Liberty. Your new identity is your liberty. I longed to get to this place in this message. Your new identity is your liberty. Now, just before we pray, let me read a few verses of scripture here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 to 27. Paul says, I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you, the body of Christ, to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden. To fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations. To fulfill the word of God. Well, Christ himself, he is the word of God. So Paul says, my assignment and my stewardship, this dispensation, this which I'm called of God to do and to accomplish by the Spirit of God, is that Christ, who is the word of God, that mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generation must now, but is now being revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So Paul is saying that my assignment is to see, to teach, to minister in such a manner by the Spirit of God and the power of God, so that there would be the fulfillment of the word of God, which is Christ himself, that mystery that was hid from the foundation of the world, that mystery would be unveiled and that it would become a fulfillment in your life, in my life, in the body of Christ, that Christ, the word of God, is now your life. Christ in you is the hope. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you is this mystery that was reserved in heaven from before the foundation of the world, but it is now being unveiled to us by the Spirit of God. God is revealing and unveiling to us what are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And Christ in you is the very embodiment and picture of who you really are, your new identity. The old you came to an end. You know, we were singing a song, something about being redeemed by the blood. And as I think about that, that blood has redeemed us from who we used to be. And that blood has now planted us in who we now are in Christ, where Christ himself is now our life. Amen? So, Father, we just thank you right now for giving us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, opening up the eyes of our understanding so that we can have a clearer comprehension of who we are, of what our new identity is right now. Not who we used to be, but who we are right now. And who we are right now is not who we used to be. So let that be unveiled unto us today. And furthermore, that we would come to see and grasp and recognize that the new identity that we have is liberty. Is all the liberty that we can ever walk in. It is a liberty that is far beyond whatever we could ask or think. So unveil that to us, Father, by the power of your Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So your identity is, your identity is the new you. Now, we know that 1 Thessalonians 5:23, that man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body. Amen? Now, when that old spirit that we had was dead in trespasses and sins, and had, quite frankly, the very nature of the devil, selfishness core to core, So we needed to be born again so we could dwell in the presence of God. So God redeemed us unto himself, shed the blood of his son, and literally sacrificed himself through his son so that he can pull us out of that old nature that we had and give us a brand new nature, which is his very own. God sacrificed himself through his son, shed his blood. Why? What for? So as to put an end to who we were and to make us brand spanking new, to make us new creations. So new creation, in fact, that old things have passed away, gone, no more, by death and burial. And now, behold, all things have become new, and all things are now of God. God did that. God did that. And you see, so man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body. But what changed in the new birth is that that old, dead, I was going to say demonic, spirit with the nature of the devil was ripped right out with all of his stuff and dead, died and buried. And it was replaced. We became born again of the word of God, of the spirit of God, of the will of God. And we became what 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 and 18 calls the new creation. Amen? So your spirit is brand new. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 4 calls him the hidden man of the heart. I like the New King James on this one. The New King James called him the hidden person of the heart. Oh, there's a new person in here. Amen? Created in the image of God. And it calls that new person, it says, he is incorruptible. He's undefiled. He is gentle. And he's very precious. He's very precious in the sight of God because of the price that was paid for him. Amen? The hidden man of the heart. Romans chapter 7, 22 calls him the inner man. And it says that inner man delights in the law of God. That inner man, that new person on the inside, loves God, delights in God, delights in the things of God. He has the mind of Christ. Ephesians 3 verse 16 calls him again the inner man. And so Paul was praying that we would be strengthened in that inner man so that we can comprehend the things of God. Be so strengthened in that inner man that we'll be able to function effectively in this new nature of God that we have. Strengthened in that inner man so that we can function effectively in the love of God, in righteousness, in the nature of God that we now are. So Ephesians 3:16 also calls him the inner man. The inner man, he's on the inside. He's hidden. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 16 says, even though the outward man perish, yet the inward man, he is renewed day by day. Calls him the inward man. And 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, the scripture I believe we've been using as a text, calls him the new creation. New creature. Didn't exist before. Amen? So, now Colossians 3 verse 10 says that you and I are to put on this new man. We are to put him on. And this new man is being created after the image of him that created him. Put on this new man. Ephesians 4 verse 24 says, put on this new man who is created after God in righteousness and true holiness. Hallelujah. Put him on. This new creation man was born of the incorruptible, immortal, eternal word of God. Hallelujah. You were born of your parents, isn't that right? Your physical parents. So in the physical, you have your parents' DNA. Well, if you and I were born of the immortal, eternal word of God, guess what kind of DNA you have? You have the very DNA that comes out of the word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No wonder it's called eternal life. You have the very nature. Oh, grab this. You have the very nature of the living word of God that is eternal, that is immortal, that is incorruptible. Born again, born again of the incorruptible seed of the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Glory to God. This new creation man that you are, that is on the inside, had been born again of what? The Spirit of God. Now again, in the natural, you're born of your parents. Physically, you have their DNA. So here you are. You are born not of flesh and blood, but you are born of the Spirit of God. Guess what kind of DNA you have? You have the very nature of the Spirit of God. Oh, think about that for a moment. Hallelujah. That's why God was saying, I was looking forward to this day when they won't have to be worshiping in this mountain or that mountain or whatever, whatever. But where the true worshipers will be able to worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. We are born of the Spirit of God and have that nature. 1 John 3:9 says that the seed of God remains in us, in that new creation. And therefore we cannot sin. Now you could sin in the natural, you could sin from your mind, you can sin with your body and from your soul. But within your spirit, according to 1 John 3:9, it is impossible for you to sin. Why? Because the seed of God remains in you. Because it has the very nature of God. The nature of God cannot sin. Amen? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This is who I am. Say it. This is my nature. So, you see, you've been created in righteousness and true holiness. We must capture who we really are. Who is this new identity? And here is another one that I think is so wonderful. We are born, not of the will of men, it says, but of what? We are born of the will of God. So let me say it again. Let me try it again. You are born of your parents. Physically, so you have their DNA. So here we are. We are born of the Word of God. That's the DNA we have. That's the nature we have. We are born of the Spirit of God. That's the DNA. That's the nature we have. So here we are born of the will of God. Guess what? Your meat is to do the will of God. Your born again spirit delights in the Word of God. And he is consumed with the will of God. He doesn't make choices. Choices from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He lives from the tree of life, where it's not about choice, it's about obedience. Hallelujah. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15. Verse 14, that when one died for all, then we're all dead. So that they which live, that's the new man, that's the new creation, no longer live for themselves, but they live for him who died and rose again. So this new creation man lives only for God. He doesn't live for the will of men, but he doesn't even live for his own will. He lives for the will of God. The will of God is his will. He is born of the will of God, born of the Word of God, born of the Spirit of God. Oh, I'm telling you, I mean, ponder that for a moment. Isn't that awesome? That's who you are. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, this new creation life, this new creation man, this new life began in resurrection. We were born again, begotten of God, to a living hope by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. And this new creation man, this new life that you have inside your spirit, this hidden man of the heart, he is God's workmanship. He is God's masterpiece. He is the perfect product of the perfect sacrifice of Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23 calls him the spirit of just men made perfect. Well, think about it. That ought not to be a surprise when you see he's born of the incorruptible Word. He's got that DNA, born of the Spirit, born of the will of God. The Spirit of just men made perfect. Hebrews 10 verse 14 says, now I'm not saying you're perfect in your soul. I'm not saying you're perfect in your body. But I am saying you're perfect in your spirit. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 14 says, by that one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified and set apart to God. Hallelujah. We have been perfected forever. The spirit of just men made perfect. Now we got to believe that. We got to receive that. We got to walk that out. Because you see, the scripture says you've got to walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. You got to know who you are, believe who you are, speak who you are, and then it will become your experience. Why? Because as a man thinketh in his heart, that's how he becomes. Amen? Hallelujah. You see, here's a little secret, but it's a big secret. Is that right? And it's simply this. I think it's Paul wrote this somewhere. He says, there's nothing you have that you did not receive. Ponder on that. What do you have that you did not receive? Therefore, if there is nothing you have that you did not receive, guess what? Guess what the secret to having is? Receiving. The secret to having is receiving. That is why Jesus says, when you pray, believe what? You receive it and you shall have it. That is why it says the Holy Ghost, when he has come, oh, he will show us. He will show us the things that are freely given to us. Amen? So that we can receive them. So that we can take them. So that we can speak them. All right, get back over here. So you've got to believe this. If you do not receive, if you do not believe and receive the truth of the new identity and who you are, you're not going to walk in it. You're not going to experience it. And in fact, quite frankly, a lot of your speaking and your actions and your thinking will be double-minded. You'll be trying to operate in the things of God while in the meanwhile functioning from the old man, from the carnal nature, from the flesh. That's double-mindedness. Now, this is not to make anybody feel bad, because the truth of the matter is every one of us have been there and are still there. We are still working our way out to learn to function continually from this new nature that we are and not be double-minded. Because the double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And the scripture says, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You cannot receive. The secret to having is receiving. Oh, man, that's awesome. Ha, ha, ha. So, you must be consumed with the image of the new you, of the new man, of this new identity. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 34 says, awake to righteousness and sin not. Stop coming short from the glory. Awake to this oneness that you have with God in Christ. Awake to this new identity. Come awake and have a continual conscious awareness of this righteousness, of this oneness, of this life you have coming out of the vine. Be aware of it. Be continually conscious of it. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we are to be renewed in the very spirit of our mind. Unto what? Unto the new man who is created in righteousness and true holiness. Ephesians chapter 4, 23 and 24. James chapter 1, 23 to 25. Basically, what was it saying? I'm going to turn to it briefly. James chapter 1, verse 23 to 25, that whole passage, says, if anyone is a hearer of the word, but he's not a doer of it, he's hearing about these things regarding the new man that he is, his new identity, but he's not a doer of it, he's not embracing it, he's not mixing it with faith, he's not mixing it with believing and speaking. He's only hearing it. The scripture says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 3, verse 2, that even though they heard the word, they heard the gospel, they heard the promise, it did not profit them because they didn't mix it with faith. So you can hear how much of a more than a conqueror you are. You are made the righteousness of God in Christ. You can hear how that you are a king and a priest unto God. You can hear how you are blessed with every spiritual blessing. But if you do not mix those things with faith, it will not profit you. So here James is saying, if any man is a hearer of the word, hearer of this, who he really is, his true identity, but he's not a doer. He is like a man that observes his natural face in a mirror. And he observes his face. And as he observes, he sees, this is who I am. This is my true identity. But then he goes away and immediately he forgets what man of man he was. He forgets what his new identity is. And he goes back to who he was before. But I'll tell you what, verse 25. He who looks into that perfect law of liberty, and continues in it, stays with it, and he's not a forgetful hearer. He doesn't forget that he is a new creation and a new identity that he is. But he's a doer of that work. This one will be blessed in what he does. This one will have good success. This one will come to the experience of that liberty. It will not be just some understanding and comprehension. It will become his experience. Amen? What am I saying? You must be consumed with this image of the new you, who you are, this new identity. You've got to embrace it. You see, the human identity with all of its history, its ethnicity, education, culture, language, and everything else about him, that old man was crucified, died, and was also buried in the death and burial of Christ. It all came to an end. Now, if you listen to the first message on this or a couple of old messages about crucifixion, you can get some more out of that. But the old you is dead and gone with everything else that was attached to him. All of his history and anything else. Now, today, the focus is this. That new identity, that new you that you are, is your liberty. In other words, then, if you and I can function from that real you, that real me, if we can function from that new nature that we have, that new person that we are, and be in harmony with who we are on the inside, what will happen? Liberty, victory, freedom from every curse, and every oppression will become your continual experience. Every curse. Because you see, the nature of that new man, are we going to get to that, is free from all the curse. He is free indeed. So James 1:25, we talked about it a little while ago. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues with it is not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man will be blessed. He will be empowered to have good success, to have the word of God fulfilled in whatever he does. Let me structure this a little bit differently. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues with it will experience perfect liberty. He who looks into that perfect law of liberty and continues in what he sees, that glory, he will experience perfect liberty. All right. Now we capture this. There is already, once you're born again, there is perfect, complete liberty in your spirit. You are born again. You listening to me. You watching this broadcast. Right now, you are born again in your spirit. You have perfect liberty in your spirit. Right now, in that new creation you, that's how it is. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 says, when we all, with unveiled face, not with biases, but with clarity, When we all with unveiled face beholding as in a mirror, what do we see in that mirror? We see a reflection of what's before it. And when we with unveiled face beholding as in a mirror, as it says, the glory of the Lord, that's what we see. Because in your born again spirit, you have obtained the glory of the Lord. Jesus said in John 17:22, Father, the glory you have given me, I have given them. What glory? The same glory. Now, what is that glory? Isaiah 35, verse 2 says, it is the very excellency of God. It is the very character, the very nature of God. It is his love. It is his holiness. It is his righteousness. It is his power. It is all of that. It is his wisdom. So your spirit, man, is complete in Christ. Filled with all of the fullness of God. Perfect. Spirit of just men made perfect. But you got to believe this. You've got to receive this. You don't receive it, you don't have it. You have it, but you don't have it. It is that way in your spirit, but it ain't going to go any further. It's not going to take over your mind, your will, your emotions, and even your physical body and your life if you don't receive it. The secret to having is what? What is the secret to having? Receive. What is the secret to having? Receiving. Amen. So there is perfect liberty in your spirit. Say perfect liberty. Now you believe the word of God, do you not? Yes. All right. Jesus said in John 8:36, if the Son makes you free, you are partly free? No. If the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. The Amplified says you are really and unquestionably free. You are not going to be. Say, I am.
I am.
I am who I am, says I am.
I am,
I am perfectly free in my spirit. So you got to believe that. And you got to receive that. So, I'm using this phrase, you got to believe that. You got to receive that on purpose. Because the truth of the matter is, you absolutely must set your heart to believe what the word of God says exactly as it says it. Not as religion twisted to be, not as culture twisted to be, not as your not it filtered through your experiences. But you must believe the word of God exactly as it is written. We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written. We believe and therefore speak. The word didn't profit them. Why? They didn't mix it with faith. They didn't mix it with believing. And as a result, they didn't enter into the rest. They died in the wilderness. Psalms 119 verse 8 and 9 says, the word of God is settled in heaven. Whether you and I believe the word of God or not does not change the word of God. It's still settled in heaven. But if you want to get it settled in your life here on earth, you've got to believe it exactly as it is written, receive it by faith, declare it, and act like it so. Until you do, it will not become your experience. Even though Jesus has paid the price, shed his blood so that you can have it. Even though you are perfectly qualified as an heir of the inheritance, you are perfectly qualified because of that blood, yet you will not have it because you will not experience it because you don't mix it with faith. You don't mix it with believing and speaking and acting like it's so. Period. Are you with me? All right? Hallelujah. Exactly as it says it, regardless of what you have experienced or what anyone else thinks, religion, culture or whatever, or any other voice or argument that is contrary. You know, Paul said in Acts 26, verse 29, when he was on some one of the trials, and he says, I wish you were all like me. I wish you were all free as I am, except for these chains. Paul says, I am the freest man in this place, and he's in chains. Are you with me? We have this awesome liberty, but we've got to receive it. We've got to take it. We've got to believe it. You must let God be true and every man and everything else be a lie. Anything that is contrary, it's a lie. That could mean you. That means your opinion. That means your opinion of any other human being. Even if an angel showed up and told you something different to what is written, man, you should rebuke that angel, because let the word of God is forever settled in heaven. Let God be true and every man a liar, that you might be justified when you are judged. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You see, Revelation, this mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory, has to be revealed to you by the Spirit of God. It's not just about information. The Holy Ghost has to reveal this to you. But revelation comes by faith. It is a faith. Back up. Revelation comes by faith. Hebrews 11 verse 3 says, through faith we understand. How do you understand? Through faith. You got to believe you receive revelation and understanding before you understand a thing. People are waiting until they understand to be dead. Then they think, when I understand. No, you understand by faith first. And then later on, all the light goes off. Then you get the aha moments. I see. Eureka. Amen. Through faith we understand. You receive revelation by faith. The scripture also says in Psalms 25 verse 9, it is the meek that he will teach his way. In other words, when we are not in a place of meekness, the Holy Ghost will not function in that capacity as your teacher. And when that happens, you stay out in the dark. Are you with me? But the word has come to give you light and to cause light to shine upon your pathways and to give understanding to the simple. But that word works through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He is the revealer. He is the unveiler. He is the thing. He is the one that takes the things of Christ and what? Reveals them unto us. Amen? All right. Hebrews chapter 3. Let me just turn here. This is so important that I need to bear down on it. Because it's not automatic. There is an enemy that don't want you to get a hold of revelation. He wants you to listen to scripture and say, yeah, that's nice. But then he wants you to doubt in your head. Had God said, oh, this might work for sister so-and-so or brother Harry, but not for me. That's the devil. Hebrews chapter 3. Let's just read a few verses. Verse 12 and 13. Two verses. Beware. What does beware mean? Be warned. Be warned concerning what I'm about to say, brethren. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. What does an evil heart of unbelief look like? Departing from the living God. To depart from the living God is to not be functioning in oneness with him. To depart from the living God is to not be functioning in righteousness. Are you with me? The very essence of departing from the living God is sin. Sin is separation from God. So it says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you. That means we also are a brother's keeper. Don't you operate in unbelief. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you have an evil heart of unbelief. But it doesn't say that. Be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. What is the point? The deceitfulness of sin is what causes that heart of unbelief. So we got to understand what this deceitfulness of sin is. Because this deceitfulness of sin creates a hardening of the heart and insensitivity. And this deceitfulness of sin produces an evil heart of unbelief. This deceitfulness of sin causes you to depart from the living God and not live in that place of righteousness, but to be in a place of separation. Detached. Say detached. Is this important? Okay. All right. So what is this deceitfulness of sin? And as I said, man, if I just stayed on this and we got it, it would help. It is so valuable. So get this, please. It is this dynamic that the devil is behind that works a law in your bodily members, in the sensitive appetites and wills of the flesh and the mind of the flesh, to bring your mind into the captivity and make it be captured by the law of sin, by that law of separation and detachment from God. So there is this dynamic that is happening because of some stuff that is kind of like running through your physical members and running through the mind of the mind of the flesh. And the end point is that it is this stuff is working in you. It's working. What for? To capture you and bring you underneath the law of sin. All right. I know this might be a little bit new territory, so I think it's appropriate that I slow down a bit. Romans chapter 7, verse 23 puts it this way. But I see, King James, I see another law. Well, verse 22. I delight in the law of God according to what? The inner man. He loves God. He loves the word. Yes. He don't have a problem with the deceitfulness of sins. All right? But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. The Amplified says, I discern in my bodily members, in the sensitive appetites and wills of the flesh, a different law, a different rule of action that is making me a prisoner to the law of sin that dwells in my bodily organs, in the sensitive appetites and wills of the flesh. All right, you might need to come back and meditate on that, but please do. But there is this dynamic happening. And this dynamic is not trying to bring you into the place where I trust the Lord. God said it, that settles it. No, it's working in you the opposite way to bring you in the captivity of the law of sin. Romans chapter 8. Let me just read just a few verses. Romans chapter 8, reading from verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be spiritually minded tends, moves you towards a life of God and peace where everything is reconciled. But to be carnally minded, to have that dynamic working, if you leave it alone and you don't do anything about it, it tends and it moves you to death, which is what? Separation. It moves you into that detached place. Instead of the vine abiding in a branch, creates a disconnect. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Nor indeed can be. So those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 13. For if you live according to that flesh, you will die. Now it's talking separation. It could eventually lead to physical death, but they're going to be in that separation. That's why it says awake to righteousness and what? Sin not. 1 Corinthians 15:34. So if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you live. Hallelujah. All right, I say all of that because I'm trying to point out this. What is this deceitfulness of sin that moves you into, that stimulates and produces this hardening of heart and this this evil heart of unbelief and this sense of departure from the living God? What is this deceitfulness of sin? And I'm calling it this dynamic. The deceitfulness of sin will use, talk about the devil. The devil is behind it, by the way. He's a deceiver. The deceitfulness of sin will use your feelings, your emotions, your history, your experience, your memory, your appearances, logic, humanity, your human reasoning. What for? To speak against the truth of God's word. In other words, it will use anything it can. So that you can believe a lie rather than the truth. So that you end up seeing yourself instead of seeing this wonderful picture that we are painting of the new identity, born of the Word of God, born of the Spirit of God, and what it is. Instead of that, what's happening is you end up seeing yourself in the flesh, in your humanity, and you see yourself in your circumstances and through the eyes of your circumstances. Instead of seeing yourself as what? More than a conqueror. Instead of seeing yourself as God always causes me to triumph. Instead of seeing yourself as above only and never beneath. You end up feeling like you're under the weather. And then your feelings want to dictate. And you end up believing the feeling. That's a lie. That's the deceitfulness of sin. Instead of believing the perfect love of God is shed abroad in your heart. And therefore you are patient and you are kind and you are gentle and you don't have a record of everything wrong that somebody else does. That deceitfulness will say, yeah, that's not you. You know that's not you. And will try to talk you out of that. In the meantime, what is the truth? Your born-again spirit has the love of God, and that's how it is. And in this whole thing is, you are binding yourself to what? To who you are in your spirit, your new identity. And this deceitfulness of sin is constantly trying to talk you out of it. That is why we need to recognize it and deal with it. Amen? Instead of seeing yourself that, I can do all things through Christ that empowers me and strengthens me. There's arguments against that. God's nature is now your nature. You are perfectly righteous. You are the very righteousness of God in Christ. Yeah, but you know what you were thinking. You know what you did earlier. You know that's the deceitfulness of sin. You are an heir of God, and you are a joint heir of you are an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. You are the possessor of the heaven and the earth. Think about that one. Do you know the scripture says that you are the possessor of the heaven and the earth? Man, the deceitfulness of sin will not allow you to believe that. And you've got to say no to it. The deceitfulness of sin wants you to see yourself as weak, as disqualified, as inferior, rather than the fact that you are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That the blood of Christ has qualified you for all of the inheritance. And that you are not sin conscious, but rather you have not forgotten that you've been cleansed from your sins. Sin consciousness, or rather the deceitfulness of sin, wants to let you somehow forget that you've been made the righteousness of God. Forget that you have been cleansed and purged from your sins. Forget that God is not holding your sins and trespasses against you, and that he's removed them as far as the east is from the west, and that he has no record of it. Sin consciousness, that deceitfulness of sin, is trying to do the opposite. But you've got to awake and deal with it. You're not inferior. Because why? You are a partaker of God's divine nature. You're not an ordinary person. You are not ordinary. You're special. You are chosen of God. Before the foundation of the world, he chose you. There is perfect liberty in your spirit. Perfect liberty. You have all that perfect liberty. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Your new identity is your liberty. And I'm going to build on that now. That new identity is your liberty. Now consider what I'm about to say. All right? Everything that God has called you to, and there are at least 9 very specific in the Word of God. Everything that God has called you to, you are in your spirit. Whatever He's called you to, you are in your spirit. You have it. Not will have it. You have it in your spirit. Example. God has called you into the fellowship of His Son, into the fellowship of the Godhead, into the communion of the Holy Ghost. Well, guess what? You already have it. You are, the very essence of eternal life is knowing Him. You've got eternal life. The very essence, so that you have that intimate fellowship and communion with the Father, with the Son, and the Holy Spirit, simply because of Christ's sacrifice. Now, if you're not experiencing it, there's some things need to be fixed, but it is so. You've got it in your spirit. You have to have it in your spirit because you're blessed with every spiritual blessing. And I don't know about you, but fellowship with God, the Father, and the Holy Ghost, man, that's a good blessing. And if every spiritual blessing got to include that. You are called to eternal life. And fight the good fight of faith that you might lay a hold on eternal life to which also you've been called. So you call to that eternal life? Well, you have that eternal life. He that has the Son, have that eternal life. These things I've written unto you that you might be conscious and aware and know that you have eternal life. 1 John 5:11-13. Well, similarly, you are called to the glory of God. So you got the glory of God. You are called to the grace of Christ. You've received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. You are called to holiness. The new man is created in righteousness and true holiness. You are called to the peace of God. My peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. You are called to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is on the inside of you. Everything that you are called to, you have. Can you see that? All right. You are, that is why it says He's given to you all things that pertain to life and godliness. So, Galatians 5:13 says, we are called to liberty. What does that mean? It means we got it. Say, I got it. Got it. All right? We have that liberty in our spirit. You got to believe that. You got to receive it. The secret to having is what? You got to receive it. Your new identity is your liberty. We are free indeed. The world is in decay. The world is in corruption. But we are in the world, but Jesus says we're not of the world. 2 Peter 1:4 says, God has given us exceeding great and precious promises that by these we might be what? Partakers of the divine nature. 1 John 5:18-19 says, you are of God, little children. So you are he that is born of God, sinneth not. And the evil one touches him not. But they that are in the world, they are in the sway and in the lap and in the grip of the enemy. Because he is the God of this world. But he's not my God. He's not your God. Amen? The very promises of God details the various specific freedoms that we have. It itemizes the various aspects of the divine nature that is already ours. By these great and precious promises, we can take whatever part of the divine nature that is appropriate so you can escape the corruption that is in the world that they can't escape. So how free are you? How free are you? You've got all this perfect liberty. How free is that? Well, Galatians 3:13 says, when Jesus hung upon the cross, he became a curse for us. So that we are redeemed from the curse of the law. We are redeemed from the curse of the law. Deuteronomy 28:15-68 lists a whole bunch of curses. Well, you should read those curses and rejoice. How can I read curses and rejoice? Because every time you read one of those curses, you say, ha, I'm free from that one. I'm free from that one. I'm free from that one. I'm free. I mean, and you've got, look how many verses. You are free from it all. You have been redeemed from the curse of poverty, sickness, disease, confusion, mental torment, oppression, fear, generational curse. We are free from the voice of our past, the accusations of the devil. He's been cast down. We have overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. We are free from the accusations of people and their intimidations and everything else. We are even free from ourselves. That's freedom. When you get free from yourself, man, you're free indeed. Amen. Hallelujah. The old man has been crucified. We have all the freedom beyond what we could ever ask or think. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I wonder how free is the emperor's son? How free is he? Envision, you are the Son of God. And all that God is, and all that God has is yours. All that God is and all that God has is yours. The blood covenant in which you stand gives you access to all that he is and all that he has. You're an heir of God. How free is that? So Galatians 5 verse 1 exhorts us to stand fast in the liberty whereby Christ has made us free. That's what I say. You got to get a hold of this and be like a bulldog and lock your teeth into it and don't be separated. Do not be entangled again. Stand fast in the liberty and don't be entangled with any yoke of bondage. Don't be entangled with the law and your own performance. The law has been nailed to the cross. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Romans 10 verse 4. Don't allow the deceitfulness of sin to move you out of the consciousness of righteousness, that oneness, that authority, that freedom from condemnation and guilt and shame. Don't allow the deceitfulness of sin to move you out of that consciousness of righteousness and that you have in Christ and move you out into that place of separation. So, in closing, let me read a list of some of the names. You know how God has all these names, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Tsidkenu, and the Jesus, you know, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and all these wonderful names. We've got some awesome names too. You've got some awesome names. You've got some awesome names, and I'm just going to read some of the names and some of the words that God, your Father, chooses to call you and describe you. Amen? Say, I believe God. And say right now, I receive this. All right. Because you see, the truth of the matter is, by that one man offense, sin came upon all men. And every man, death reigned by that one man. And what happened? They all came underneath that weight of sin and death. But through the abundance of grace, and the gift of righteousness, if we receive it, we shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. So who are you? Who are you? What does the word of God say? What does God say about you? You, the new creation. You, the hidden man in the heart. A little bit alphabetically. You are above all. You are accepted. I wish you could have us make this confession together, but it would take too long. Right? You are above all. You are accepted. You have access to God. You are alive in Jesus' resurrection power. All things are new, and all things are of God. Now, you can't possibly write this fast. You are anchored. You are anointed. You are a son of God. You are blessed with all spiritual blessings. You are bold as a lion. You are boldness and access with confidence. You are born again in Jesus' resurrection. You are a branch of the vine. And the sap that is in the vine is flowing through you. You are a brother to Jesus Christ. You are called by God. You are chosen by God. You are confident. You belong to Christ. You are dead to sin. You are dead to the world. You are the church of the firstborn. Glory to God. You are the body of Christ. You are the head. You are not the tail. You are the joy that was set before Jesus, that endured the cross, despising the shame. You are doing God's will from your heart. You are the elect of God. You have eternal life. You are filled with God's Holy Spirit. You are forgiven from all sins. You are a friend of God. You are given grace. You are glorified. You are God's ambassador, his minister of reconciliation. You are God's workmanship, a masterpiece created in Christ Jesus. You hear God's voice. Hallelujah. Your heart believes in Jesus. Your heart is made new. Hallelujah. You are an heir of God. You are holy. You are an intercessor. You are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You are justified. You are the pillar and the ground of truth. You are the seed of Abraham. You are unreprovable. You are unblameable. You walk in the Spirit. You are washed by Jesus' blood. You are washed by God's word. You are loved by the brethren. You are loved by God. You are made unto God a king. You are made unto God a priest. You are more than a conqueror. Your mouth speaks forth the word of faith. You are ordained to walk in God's works. You have peace that passes all understanding. You receive revelation from the Lord. You receive wisdom. You receive God's word. You are reconciled to God. You are righteous. You reign with Christ. You are sanctified. You are seated with Christ. Glory to God. You are the church of the living God. You are the witness of God. You receive wisdom that is from above. You worship God in spirit and in truth. You have the mind of Christ. You are a tree of righteousness. You are a child of the promise. A child of the free. A child of the light. A child of the day. Hallelujah. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are the very temple and dwelling place of God. You are God's building. You are God's garden. You are fellow citizens with all of the saints. You are the family of God, the elect of God, lively stones, a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people. You are a chosen generation. You are a saint. You are a steward of the mysteries of God. You are an epistle of Christ. Ministers of Christ. You are an able minister of the new covenant. Hallelujah. You are the sweet savor of Christ in every place. You are a new creation. You are a new man. Hallelujah. Now this new creation man, everything about him is new and is of God. Everything has changed. The old is dead, buried, and gone. The change comes from God. God did this. And it is of God. This new creation man has the very mind of Christ. And listen to this. Surrenders all that he has ever thought about his life or purpose. He surrenders it all to the truth. Hallelujah. It is now all of God, and his way of seeing himself is as God sees him. He sees everyone else through the sacrifice of Christ. He looks through the blood. This new creation person is free indeed, totally. So, from here on, you don't have to live your life another day. But you and I get to live his life. The new creation man's life. Old man has been crucified. The life we now have, it's the life of Christ. This new man is created after the image of him that created him. That's the life that we get to live. You are above only and not beneath. You are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You are raised in the power of resurrection in his nature and in his authority. Hallelujah.